Earlier this year, I guess second Sunday of the year, I did preach on James, and we preached on trials. This is a book that myself and John have been memorizing, and I've learned a lot from this book. It's been an encouragement to me, especially during the COVID pandemic. Actually, we were getting through much more during the pandemic than now after the pandemic. So that tells you something about trials sometimes. So I learned a lot about trials through this, and I've just been going through it. So I'm just going to continue from where we left off. But before I continue, I wanted to just review what we talked about last time. We were in chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, and we talked about trials, which in other words are testing. We said there's a predictability there. Every one of us will go through trials. I think it's important to note that and to remind us again. Because growing up, I just thought, maybe because of the group of Christians I grew up with, I felt that you'll have your heaven here on earth. That's not true. We will all go through trials. Some of us don't even know that they're going through trials. They maybe expect that it has to be a big sickness, a death, or something before they know they are. Just the simple fact that you're going through this life is a trial. As a teenager, as an elderly person, even I don't care who it is. It's never all perfect. We did talk about that. We said the point of trials for a Christian is to purify us. It's actually to help us persevere and at the end be perfect. And the perfection I'm talking about here is not perfection in the sense that, oh, everything is going to go right here on earth. No, it's talking about maturity in Christ. Maturity in Christ. And then we said, we have a different perspective. The perspective we have is that of, look, I'm not going through this world thinking that there's no hope. I'm just trying to live my best life here on earth, and then I die. Well, if you're going through trials, you're just trying to get through it any way you can, whether it's sinful or not. We go through it knowing that we have a joy because we know God is doing something through this and trying to make us be more like him. So we know where this is going. So we have joy. We're not depressed. I mean, sometimes we get depressed, but it's not to the point that we're like, we've given up. We shouldn't have that attitude. Now, again, we're going to go further. We're going to be looking into, we'll be reading James 1, 5 through 7. And then we will go through James 1, 19 through 22. Again, let's remind ourselves, James' background. He was the half-brother of Christ, Jesus Christ. And he wasn't saved. I mean, earlier in Jesus' ministry, he wasn't saved. He later gave his life to Christ. This book may have been written around 62 AD. This was around the time Stephen was stoned to death for his belief in Christ. And these were Jews that left Judea and are all over the place. And now these Jews are finding themselves to be the underclass in other places around the world. And what will often happen is you'll see through the book of James, these people will often, there was always some struggle between the rich and the poor. The rich were taking advantage of them, even to the point that in the church, there was partiality. The rich will sit at a special place, at a special seat, and the poor will sit in another area. So this were the people James was writing to. I'm going to ask us, since I didn't give... I don't think we'll have these up there. I'm going to ask us to please turn to James 1, verse 5 through 11, and then we'll do 19 through 22. I'm going to read. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Then we'll go to 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. First, I just want to, again, why does it matter? What are we about to talk about here? We are going to talk about more about trials. Well, okay, we want something uplifting, but I'm actually not a fan of wanting to just talk about trials. I'm just following the text. But I also think it's very, very important for each one of us, especially since we know we are going to follow trials, and we need to have the proper attitude, and we need to have the tools to prepare ourselves for these trials. Then you will say, well, why does it matter? Well, if it doesn't matter to you that you come through this sanctified, looking more like Christ, there should be a question whether or not you're truly saved. It should matter to you. It shouldn't be just about, okay, getting on with life, getting married, getting on, living my life and all. If you go through this and you're like, okay, look, you know what? I really don't care. Then there's something wrong, because it should grieve you that you do not care enough to go through this trial to the glory of God, looking steadfast and more matured. So that's the point of this. This is the encouragement to you. I want to start off by just listing some points. My title will be Getting Wisdom for Trials. Okay, and my first word will be, or my first title will be, Ascertain If You Lack Wisdom. Ascertain, so it's A, ascertain. And let's go back to our passage. The Bible says in James 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. This is coming after we've talked about James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in dispersion. Greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that it may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It's come after that. What it's saying now is this, okay, this is not out of context. This is not the wisdom. What kind of wisdom are we talking about here? This is not philosophical jargon. This is not intellectualism. Those are important. Don't get me wrong. But this is saying, this type of wisdom is the wisdom where you have the proper understanding and you have the practical skill to live to the glory of God. This is the kind of wisdom. And his readers already knew this at that time. They knew what he was talking about when he said wisdom. This is the kind of wisdom we're talking about here. So the Bible is saying, in order, especially since it comes after the trials and it says be perfect, and it says 1 through 4, it talks about trials. Then it says here, if any of you lacks wisdom. So first of all, it tells me that some believers there lack wisdom. The question for us will also be, is there any of us that lacks this godly wisdom? What is this godly wisdom like? I've used this verse countless times. It's my favorite verse to go to, or set of verses. What will wisdom look like? Is it wisdom like, you know, Solomon had, so it was so wise, but then again, it led him to sin. Is that kind of wisdom that we're talking about? And thank God it came back. What kind of wisdom are we talking about here? Before we read James 3, 13 and 17, as we're getting that up, again, what is it like? I've said it in the past, okay, you need wisdom. At some point, we should start saying, okay, do you lack wisdom? You should ask yourself, do I lack wisdom? The wisdom here. Oh, no, no, everything's fine. No, I want to challenge you and see if you stand up to this. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And then 17, but the wisdom from above, this is godly wisdom, is first pure. Let's say something about, you need to find out what's pure. It means you have to go read the word of God. Then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And I've said this several times. I know I've used this passage, but it's just down the line where we're going. Good fruits here will be Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're like, well, I'm not quite like this. Maybe we should work with the opposite. The opposite will be James 3, 14 through 16. Right, so we're bringing that up. I mean, am I self-centered? Is it about me? Is it about my life? Let's read James 3, 14 through 16. But if you have bitter jealousy, by the way, this is an example of demonic wisdom. This is the wisdom. This is not the wisdom that children of God should be exemplifying or should be showing. 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. But it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Then you will say, well, I'm not on this list. It doesn't fit. Okay, let's flip it around. Let's go over the opposites of peaceable, gentle, reasonable, impartial, sincere, which is what verse 17 talks about. And in my head, and I cannot help but say this, I could think of certain people that I've met, and go back into the period of the COVID pandemic and how we were handling the situation, okay? And think of this opposite of peaceable, combative, contentious, argumentative, quarrelsome, hot-tempered. Opposite of gentle, gets annoyed, gets agitated. Opposite of reasonable, unreasonable. Opposite of impartial, partial, showing favoritism. Opposite of sincere, deceitful, hypocritical, two-faced. My question to you is this. If you ask yourself, the first thing is, okay, before you could say if you lack wisdom, you should do this, then you have to really know, what's the wisdom we're talking about here? If you don't have godly wisdom, then we go forward with the next step. So the question you should be asking yourself is, do I lack godly wisdom or not? And one thing that is going to be clear to anyone who has been a Christian long enough will realize that to be able to come up here and, you know, just put your chest out and say, yeah, I've got it all covered, that is pride. And nobody, even the more mature, the wiser you get, the more you realize your faults and the more you're humbled. So it could apply to all of us, maybe in one area more than the other. I've talked in the past about the issue of being angry. I've said before, like I will call it righteous indignation. I want everyone to be on time to get to church, and I'll do all these things. And I'll say, come on, we have to go, you know, raise your voice, be firm, you know. I'm afraid this is going to be online, but I'm going to go ahead and say. So my mom was a Christian. I believe she is. And I perhaps disagreed on an issue, and it's a very, very personal issue, but I felt the word of God says that's not the way it should go, that I had to stand my ground. And I stood my ground. I said, Mom, no. But she said, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. Your father and your mother will have the last word. And on this issue, I just did not want Mom to have the last word. If she does, she could have the last word, but I had to speak my piece. And in the process, I found myself, like at some point, since I couldn't talk anymore, I had to get off the phone. I said, Mom, I have to get off the phone. I have to get off the phone. Then I started thinking about how my attitude was going through the week. I was feeling good about myself. Yeah, I stood on scripture. I told her like it is, you know. And then I started to check, wait a second. Is this godly wisdom? Yeah, it is true. You spoke the word, but is this attitude, is this not pride I'm setting in? Thank God, especially since you know you're going to be preaching at some point or teaching something, you want God's blessing. So I had to quickly say, God, forgive me. Let's quickly get this thing straightened out. And so I asked Mom and I have been talking. So I had to back off a little and just say, I don't want to do this in pride. I have to speak the truth. This is an example of my life. Do we have godly wisdom? We will face trials, whether it's old age, whether it's teenage years, whether someone is a boy and a girl dating and the boy has to keep things under control. It's a trial. You're going to face this trial. You need wisdom to face it. Whether it's a teenager that is supposed to be obedient to his parents, in spite of whatever he or she feels like is supposed to be the right way to do things, you will go through trials. How are you going to go through it? You need wisdom. You need wisdom. You have to go and say, I need wisdom in this area. And this is very applicable to every, all my kids, we talk about it. No matter what, you have to remember, okay, God is maybe taking you through this for a reason. I can't mention things, but it's like God may be taking you through this for a reason. Why don't you talk to, it's an opportunity for them. Are they truly saved? If they're truly saved, push them towards Christ. Ask Christ, how does he want you to handle this situation? What does the Bible say? So the first point is ascertain if you lack godly wisdom. The second one is ask. So A for ascertain, A for ask. I'm going to go to James 1:5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him do what? Ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and to be given him. It's amazing how many times we pray for things, but we do not pray. We may say, God, I need help to get this job. I need wisdom to get this job. I need your help getting this car, this nice car, this house, or wherever. We want something, but no, we often do not pray about wisdom to handle our trials. We do not. I'm looking at it, God said. Sometimes even when we look at this, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, most people even think about this wisdom as just wisdom in general. This wisdom is talking specifically in this context about trials. The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask. Pray about it. I'll give you an example in my life. And look, you could judge, but I hope you wouldn't, because I know human nature. We all have something like this that we need to deal with in our lives. Working with patience. Bible talks here about not being partial. There is always that temptation. There is the guy, and I may have said it here before, there is a patient that came in that said, oh, the CEO of the hospital spoke good things about you. So you're like, oh man, the CEO of the hospital, okay. So you're now thinking about this guy, or maybe this patient is like the vice president of what have you. And now, you're tempted to want to treat them differently. Like, let's get all those labs. Let's make sure if they say anything, or you do it for them. And the lowly and poor person who may not be, who may not have the nice hygiene and everything, comes in, and guess what? We'll rush them off. Why in my life? Maybe the patient with dementia. No one wants to talk to them. They come in, oh, check your labs and everything. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, she's not paying attention, so let's just go. But the person hooked up to the vent, oh, we checked them. They're not there. Well, what's the labs? And we're turning our backs at the patient. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I have to pray. God, give me wisdom. This is not right. This is someone in the image of Christ. Poor or rich, people of different backgrounds, patients, whether they, it seems like, okay, they're just alert and oriented times one. They're still a human being in there. God, help me to have wisdom to deal with this trial. What is it that you have to deal with that you're not asking God for wisdom about? And it cannot be, and let's remember this, it cannot just be, you know, there's this thing, and this is where philosophies and everything gets it right. There's a societal issue. They want to just deal with one thing and say, deal with this. But then when you're dealing with this, you are leaving other areas of your life that you need to deal with unfixed. And it's always a yo-yo. It's like, well, once I fix this, this gets worse, and I fix this. No, the Bible is saying that the Lord wants your heart. And He wants your trial, is often in the area where God knows He needs to push your button and push, because you need some work in that area. Okay? So, I'm sure people get it now. It's often in an area where it's like maybe you lack faith. You are struggling. But God is a merciful God. It's not like He's trying to, He's not trying to do us harm. A verse comes to mind. I believe it should be James 5. But put up James 5, 10. I believe it's 10. Once again, up. Okay, let's start with that. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Let's go to 11. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast, who have heard, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord. There is a purpose. Like, whatever you're going through, it seems to us like, again, I'm reminding, it seems like it's just mean, it's depressing. No, God has a purpose for your life. And you see there how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He's merciful and compassionate, and He's going to help us through this. We need to rely on Him. We need to depend on Him for this wisdom. So, just moving along again, we said ascertain if you lack wisdom. Ask in faith if you lack wisdom. I'm going to go to the next one, which is the issue here with this faith. Some people will think of it, and I've struggled with how to explain it, just bear with me. Some people will think of it as, you know, faith with, don't doubt, just always, yeah, that's true. You have to have faith. You have to believe in the sovereign power of God, that He could do it, and believe in Him. And some people wonder whether, maybe He doesn't care. Maybe we know He can do it. First, some people don't know that He can do it. That's a bigger problem, because then you don't believe in Him as sovereign. Some people know He can do it, but will He do it? Is He merciful? That's a separate issue. But the issue here is double-mindedness. The faith we're talking about here, and we're going to figure out what this double-mindedness means. Okay? You bear with me. We're going to go through it. So, 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Okay? First, almost like faith versus doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Okay, that's that whole issue about not being steadfast again. It seems like you're not consistent. But let's keep going. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, we have to understand, okay, what is it about double-minded? It's not like, okay, you're dealing with your shake. No, this double-mindedness is related to sinful activity. It's related to living in sin, not completely in with Christ. You're one leg with Christ. You're one leg with the devil. You are not picking Christ. Let's see where it says that some more. Let's go to James 4, verse 1 through 8. And again, it just describes it, and then it comes to that point, and you could say, okay, this is the double-mindedness we are talking about. So that we know when we are saying we are asking in faith, we are praying and we are asking, there are some issues we need to deal with in our personal lives. Let's go. What causes quarrel and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Stop. James is talking, this is what he said. Some people are fighting, they're quarreling and all. And by the way, this is a sign of something going amiss in the church. If everyone is quarreling, everyone's having fights. Let's keep reading. You desire and do not have, so you murder. The murder here, stop, is not murder as in killing someone. It's basically hatred. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Then when you ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, again, this is trying to court Christ and living in the world. This is the issue here. If you're asking in faith about wisdom here, there are some issues that needs to be addressed. You cannot be in the world and be with Christ. You have to let go of the world because then you're considered adulterous. You do not know. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? For he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And that's my ask of you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Again, he's referring to sinners and double-minded man, a double-mindedness. Let's keep reading. And purify your heart, you double-minded. If you're going to deal with this trial, the way that it's going to honor God, it's very simple and straightforward, but we're seeing it in the text, in this context. I'm just bringing what is. I'm not bringing something novel. It's just bringing what is in the Bible, and Bible is wisdom for us. You are going to need to be single-minded. You have to have your mind only on Christ. You cannot be lukewarm. You're either cold with the world or with Christ or hot. You cannot be going back and forth. I do encourage us, please. We need to deal with this. What are we trying to be like? I know we're trying to honor God through all of this. And sometimes, by the way, trials doesn't, again, have to be that it's going on. It's just this thing going on. It could be it's like a test, like an exam. You're going through a process to be something better. Whatever way it fits in your life, please take that. So this is double-mindedness. We have to address it. The first thing is, I said, make sure you're certain if you lack wisdom. The next thing is, I said, ask in faith, especially make sure you're single-minded. The last thing is, I said, act. Ascertain, ask, act. Act on the word if you lack wisdom. We're going to read James 1, 19 through 25. And James 1, 19 through 25, it talks about this analogy, and it talks about the mirror. And I'm thinking, okay, what in the past I've often struggled like this. Looks at himself, in the mirror, and then goes away forgetting what he was like. This is really interesting, and it maybe when you look in the mirror, you will think about this. 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Stop. Often when we hear this, people think, oh, you know, just in general, let's watch our tongue, let's watch how we act. We want to, don't just be quick to say something. That is a good point, but that is not exactly primarily what this is addressing. Now, you could apply the principle, okay? This is talking about the word of God, hearing the word and not being quick to get angry about the word of God. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Let's keep going. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. You see, we are talking about the word of God. So don't be quick to hear. I'll be quick to hear, but slow to speak, slow to anger. Don't be angry when they're giving you the word of God. I'm encouraging you as you're hearing the word now, don't be quick. Don't be angry. Listen to the word. Let it sink in. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This cannot be any more straightforward. Be doers of the word and not hearers. So just don't hear the word. Please do not just come to church Sunday in and out Wednesday and just hear it and not do anything about it. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. Okay, there's that mirror idea there. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. This is saying you look at yourself in the mirror, you see what is wrong with you in the mirror, what is wrong with me in the mirror, if it's the issue of me being partial to certain people versus others, whether it's me treating certain people a different way. I need to look at myself in the mirror, not literally the mirror, but look at myself. What is it that I'm doing? Check your heart. You have to purify your heart. What is it that is wrong there? For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what it was like. So this is like me going to the mirror and saying, okay, I have this issue with partiality. And then, you know what? I go away and I act like it's not there. Maybe I have an issue with certain sins and I know it's there, but I'm like, I'm not going to address it. Same thing to everyone. This is an example right here of someone who will not act on the word. You cannot not act, or you cannot refuse to act on the word and still expect to come through your trial more steadfast. Let's keep reading. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what it was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, which is the Bible, the law of liberty, which is the Bible, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he'll be blessed in his doing. It's nothing profound. It's in the Bible. Act on the word. So we say, well, we're going through our trials. I'm going through my trials. What should I do? Nothing profound other than the Bible is saying you should know, first of all, identify areas where you don't have godly wisdom. Are you dealing with it? Are you dealing with this trial in a godly manner? Yes or no? No. How do I even know that? You have to look into the word to know what godly manner will look like. Well, I'm not addressing it in a godly manner. Okay, what do you do now? Ask God for wisdom. But ask God not in a way that you are one foot in the world, one foot in the church, or one foot with Christ. You have to be single-minded. And then, like we said, please, we hear the word, we act on it. We hear the word, we act on it. I urge you, please, don't let your heart get hardened. Don't get into habitual sin, because this is basically habitual sin. You are impeding the process of your sanctification if you do that. For those of us who already doing this right, I thank you, thank God for your life. I just continue to encourage you. I'll just finish with this paragraph. Again, if you are content with showing no fruit of the Spirit through the trials of life, you are falling into habitual sin and you are grieving the Spirit. You are in the way of sanctification. God is not going to bless this. Please don't bring God's curse on your life. If you're truly saved, God is going to chastise you. He's going to chastise you. He's doing it for your own good. He's doing it for my good. You should check your life. You should check your loyalty. Is it with God or is it with the world? Before I close, really, there's not much else. Before I close, I just want to encourage. We've said all of these, addressing those who, James addresses those who are believers. Some of them were getting to the way of the world, but he was primarily talking to believers. If you're a non-believer, then you say, okay, what about me? I think the first and foremost, is God wants you to have a relationship with him. If you're here, you're not saved, you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the wrath of God, the wrath that comes with the sin of disobedience is on top, it's over you. And just like I gave my life to Christ and I went my way and I lived the way and I was doing some evil things in my younger years and Jesus saved my life and I made a about turn and lived for Christ. God is trying to reach out to you now. He's working on your heart. Hopefully there's a reason you are here. I do urge you, if you have not been saved, if you're not giving your life to Christ, I urge you and I ask that you do talk to myself or pastor or any, well, if you just reach out to anyone and say, how can I do this? If they can't, they will direct you to someone who could over here. But the important thing to note is that Jesus died for you. He paid for that sin that could have that you would have had to pay for. His reason, he rose on the third day. And if you will place your faith and trust in him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. Of course, it's not just, okay, I get saved. No, you have to make a decision to turn away from sin and live for Christ. You have to repent of your sin. I'm going to end there. I'm going to ask us to pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you so much for today. I'm very grateful. Thank you for everyone that could hear me today. Just pray, God. Often we leave these and think, okay, you did the best you could or so. But God, I just pray that you work, oh God. I trust that you preach your word, it never fails. Just pray that you work in all our hearts. I pray, God, that you draw those who are unsaved to you, oh God, and help them to give their lives to you. And help us as believers that, God, we will live for you, that people will see us and say, you're truly a Christian. We are truly Christians. We've represented Christ well. We just don't have a culture of being a Christian, which is quote-unquote Christianity, but we truly are Christian. I pray that that will be our portion today. Father, we thank you. Thank you for everyone here. I pray, God, that we'll all be blessed and bless the remainder of today's fellowship and all. And I pray, God, that you bless this week. Keep Jared and Pastor Rick safe as they come back. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.